The following program contains music or materials that some listeners may find offensive. WDC apologizes and urges audience discretion.
I don't believe in God. But I'm afraid of him. Well, I believe in God. And the only thing that scares me is Kaiser Soze.
Just got home from Illinois. Locked the front door.
One of my favorite opening songs. Hold on, getting a call here. Hey. Yes, it is. There's nobody else here but me. You're talking to me. You got the wrong number. You're talking to Lee.
Is this the wrong number?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is my cell phone. So when you call the station number.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry,
no problem. Bye.
All right, little mix up. Have a former student and scientist. Mike Freeman's going to be calling in later and talking about nanotechnology, which I think is super cool, and this guy is great at explaining stuff. So if you've ever wanted to know, you're listening to 90.1 FM WDCE and streaming online WDCE.org, University of Richmond Radio. This is DJ Strider, and you're listening to an extended version of the Strange Cucumber Show. Normally, I'm only on 11 to 1. But there's a little extra time slot this week, so I'm going to go ahead and jump on it and hope to maybe get some new listeners and be playing some more, as usual, from Sidestep Complex, my favorite band, and a mix of things. And I wanted to make the observation, so Sundays are sort of like jazz time in Richmond. A lot of stations are playing jazz, and then the show before this was jazz. And the reason we like jazz, and the reason we celebrate jazz, and the reason we think jazz is great art is because of improvisation. Because a lot of the greatness that came out of jazz was people just kind of, quote-unquote, winging it and going out there and feeling their way and experimenting. And we're getting further and further away from the freedom to do that. And obviously we have the freedom, but we're always discouraged in one way or another by professionalism or production values or just being embarrassed that we're not a published author or a an artist with a gallery. And so we tamp down our own creativity and we lose the ability to improvise. And improvisation and adaptation are the only ways that we can survive and that we have survived. So hats off to jazz and hats off to WDCE 90.1 FM, the only, and this isn't the usual radio hype, the only freeform station in Richmond. Freeform is a very important aspect of radio. There are other local nonprofit radio stations, and they're great, but their production, they're produced, they're controlled from the top. The board has a heavy hand, and even then, things aren't always so slick. Sometimes you can't hear people, or sometimes it sounds like people reading a script have never read it before. But there's always a hand in it. You're not free to do what you like. In a freeform station, you pretty much can do the show the way you like. And maybe you have to include some PSAs. Probably a good idea anyway. But freeform is important. And the ability to have a space where it's safe and encouraged to experiment is great. When we become afraid to experiment, we become standardized. We might as well just surrender to the brave new world. You're listening to DJ Strider on 90.1 FM, streaming online, WDCE.org. It's the Strange Cucumber Show, and now a little love from the Westboro Baptist cult. I mean, church.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Captain, do we have our...
Land of the fans, he abhors her, deplores her, day and night, all his might, all her ways, from her preachers,
so call,
to her leaders,
that sing God Hates America are coming to Madison tomorrow.
God hates America.
It's a whole new spin on Christmas caroling.
Isn't it?
All
right.
The dying soldier's home.
As you know, they show up at soldiers' funerals.
Yes,
they do. Protest. Well, tomorrow they're coming to Madison, and oddly, David Douglas did this story from WISC-TV3.
Madison prides itself on being a community of acceptance, and Saturday, a step forward for gays and lesbians across the country happens right here.
Tonight, News 3's David Douglas shows us why not everyone is happy with a national religious group giving a gay man the right to preach.
We are all created in God's image.
As the seasons change.
And my ordination really is a symbol of that shift in thinking.
So too is the world. Saturday at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison. Scott Anderson will make history when he becomes the first openly gay man to be ordained as a minister in the Presbyterian Church of the USA.
I don't know if it's totally sunk in yet. I mean, I'm excited, but I'm also humbled by the moment.
The ceremony will not be his first ordination. 21 years ago in California, he was outed and had to leave the pulpit.
And that circumstance really forced me to leave. And really, all for the first time, to be honest about who I am as a gay man.
The step forward for Anderson isn't seen as acceptable by everyone. And as such, a group of protesters with a bold message plan to show up outside the sanctuary. Via Skype, a member of the Westboro Baptist Church in Kansas explained why.
That's an important event in heaven and on earth. And it's our duty as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to come to the scene and remind people of their duty to God. So that's why we're coming.
Well, I'm hoping it'll be a non-event, to be honest with you.
Police tell us the church has asked all protesters stay off their property and hope to avoid a wave of counter-protests.
It's going to be a gorgeous Saturday morning, so I'm hoping people choose to celebrate the day in a different way and enjoy other parts of the city.
For Anderson, what happens outside will just blow over. This is a change of seasons he's been waiting on.
It's kind of a healing moment for me, having stepped away for two decades and now coming back at this point in my life to reclaim my call, which is so central to who I am.
Anderson never thought this day would come. He'll continue his role as director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, though he hopes in time to return to preaching.
Interesting story, David.
But it didn't start there. If you remember the orange juice campaign, Anita Bryant.
With what they deserve? Or is it to ignore them?
If we were going to go on a crusade across the nation and try to do away with the homosexuals, then we certainly would have done it on June the 8th after one of the most overwhelming victories in the country. But we didn't. We tried to avoid it and went into a place called Norfolk, Virginia, and were met with protest and all kinds of problems. And every...
I think this clip that you've got there is marketing.
Security agent?
Oh, yeah. All right.
No.
Anita Bryant?
They're all interchangeable.
That's all right.
Father,
right.
We want to thank
Margie.
You.
Yeah.
Bryant burst into tears as the pie ran down her face. A little while later, Bryant's husband found the four pie throwers in a parking lot talking with newsmen. The four still had a banana cream pie with them, and despite his earlier plea for non-retaliation, Bryant's husband took it and threw it in one of the pie throwers' face. Des Moines authorities say no charges will be filed in connection with today's incident. Dennis Wolden, News 5.
But you'd be okay. You'd be okay with a cutest couple, heterosexual couple.
I would be, because that is the norm of society. See, it's the same gay marriage thing. You have a 6% option here. Homosexuals, according to research, are 6% of the population. And
if you're but since African Americans are a minority, would you have a problem with an African American heterosexual couple as the cutest couple?
No, because race is not conduct. There's a difference between who you are and what you do. And that is another key.
So you're judging homosexuality.
Not judging. I'm not judging anybody at anything. I'm telling you that there's a legitimate point of view that, number one, you don't allow sexuality to intrude in your high school yearbook because
right.
they're minors.
This isn't about sexuality.
Sure,
this
it is.
Just a
this
couple.
Is a lesbian couple that was voted in
but
there
they're not,
because
but they're
a lesbian
not
couple.
But they're not flaunting their sexuality.
How do you know?
They're just in love.
Wait a minute,
in the picture.
How do you know they're not? You
don't know. Participating dealers in 2008 F Series pickups, excluding Harley Davidson, F450, and higher models. Taxes, title, and license fees extra. Take new retail delivery of select 08 models from 73 through 76. See dealers for details.
Looking for a seriously hot phone? Then you'll love the Voyager by LG, a Verizon Wireless exclusive with revolutionary touch.
Think it can happen? It's already happened.
We have two trips this weekend, plus the regular speaker meetings. We have here in Pasadena, we get to preach to all you lovely people, and then we got to take it in Madison, Milwaukee.
We're not anti-gay. We are pro-family. Let me put it that way. And we love these people and try to work with them and help them. We know they have a problem. We want to help them solve that problem.
There's a storm gathering.
The clouds are dark and the winds are strong.
And I am afraid.
Some who advocate for same-sex marriage have taken the issue far beyond same-sex couples.
They want to bring the issue into my life.
My freedom will be taken away.
I'm a California doctor who must choose between my faith and my job.
I'm part of New Jersey Church Group, punished by the government because we can't support same-sex marriage.
I'm a Massachusetts parent, helplessly watching public schools teach my son that gay marriage is good.
The some who advocate for same-sex marriage have not been content with same-sex couples and gay marriage.
Those advocates want to change the name.
I will have no choice.
A storm is coming, but we have hope. A rainbow coalition.
Love.
God hates fags. What part of that don't you understand, girl?
I don't fucking understand why God hates fags. Okay. I don't fucking understand why
because
God hates
can't.
Anyone except for fucking bigots.
Now, when we're talking about religion, I really couldn't give two shits. Whether or not you believe in God or you're an atheist, everyone should get along. But some people are deluded beyond fucking belief.
Your daughter's going to hell?
Of course she is.
Whoa, okay.
You don't miss her? You don't miss your daughter?
No. Well, why would I miss her?
You need psychological help.
Because she's your daughter. If your daughter wanted to come back, is she allowed back?
If she's one of God's elect, of course she is. But in my house? No.
And I really want to fucking bang! Sense into it.
Who is the bitch? The baby? No, it's the woman.
What the fuck? Now share with me your opinions and thoughts on the situation and stay sexy.
No, on the other side of the world, there's a bunch of people who hate you, and I mean absolutely despise you. But don't worry, the folk of the Westboro Independent Baptist Church hate me too. And everyone else in Australia. In fact, they rejoice in our suffering. The killer bushfires of 2009, this year's devastating floods, apparently we deserved it all for our sins. It's hatred pure and simple and possibly crazy. But the US Supreme Court has recently ruled they're allowed to say it, and worse. These so-called Christians won their freedom of speech to damn us all to hell. And after this report, the wayward Liz Hayes is top of their list.
They're despicable.
Have you ever been to Australia? You don't have to have gone to Australia to know it's a fag nation.
The Phelps family of Kansas and their faithful followers of the Westboro Independent Baptist Church.
It's God's curse against the nation awash in sin.
Spreading hatred in God's name.
Do you know what my children say when you drive, when they drive by?
Whatever
here?
You taught them to say.
No,
your
no.
Evil black heart.
They claim God mostly hates homosexuals, but it seems no one is safe from damnation. Catholics, Jews, politicians, divorcees, even entire countries.
Australia is Sodom in the Pacific, and we got a map of it shaped like kind of like a fat weenie. You know how the Australian map looks right in the big middle of the ocean? Well, we've got Sodom written across it, S-O-D-O-M.
We're doomed.
Oh, absolutely, you're doomed.
That's right. You're all going to hell. And apparently, God especially hates me.
If you loved God, you'd keep his commandments. And so far, what you've done is you've made a kind of a, you've kind of mocked that whole standard.
You got the Lord mad at you.
Clearly. 81-year-old Fred Phelps is head of the haters. They call him Gramps, the patriarch and founder of Westboro.
I still don't understand why it's homosexuals that you focus on. Why isn't it murderers or, you know...
Because they admit they're sinners. Homosexuals are walking abominations in the estimate of God. And I'm not interested in anybody else's estimate. God's estimate. And God hates fags, which is a profound Bible truth. Anybody that doesn't believe God hates fags, doesn't believe the Bible, ergo... they're going to hell. That's my message.
God put it in your wicked heart to strike that war.
Since 1955, this disbarred lawyer has publicly attacked anyone who strays outside his own particular version of God's law.
Him shall God destroy.
Aren't you the most hated family in America?
Lord, I hope so. What a compliment you're paying me, except the last time somebody said that to me and wanted to know, did that make you mad? And I said, yeah, it made me mad, because what you should have done was say we're the most hated family in the world.
All right, we got
provocative he may be, but until now it's been easy to dismiss Phelps and his group. But this small band of religious zealots recently forced America to examine its very constitution when the US Supreme Court classified their vile pickets and placards as freedom of speech.
We would have been sued and lost and put in jail if we'd been preaching this stuff in England and Australia, and that's because England and Australia are past any hope.
Oh, well.
They've spit in the face of God for the last time.
Westboro's philosophy might be small-minded, but they think big when it comes to causing maximum offense.
You all hate one another, and we love you.
I enjoy serving the Lord my God.
No, you enjoy being offensive.
Nope.
You love it when there's pain and anguish.
No.
You do.
What I love is this. I love knowing that what I have is I have the Bible on my side, and you've got bupkis, woman. You've got bupkis for your position.
What is bupkis?
Zero, zilch, nada. I got Bible.
Steve Drain has been with Westboro for the past 10 years. He's the mastermind behind some of the church's nastiest work. When he's not adding to the collection of offensive signs, he's creating mock music videos, hoping they'll go viral.
God's gonna stand there and watch you burn. That's all right, because you wouldn't heed his word.
Oh, wicked land of Sodom.
They revel in catastrophe. The more tragic, the better. Believing disaster is God's vengeful hand at work.
You thank God for September 11th because it is one more sign that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand.
You rejoice in what you call Godsmacks.
Godsmacks. Godsmacks. No question. And what the people of the world will do is they'll say, oh, that's Mother Nature. Mother Nature, it's God. It's God kicking your ass for your sin.
The fire of God's wrath is sending hundreds of those filthy Australian beasts straight to hell. And we are praying for the dear Lord to burn many more Australians alive.
Everything from Heath Ledger's death to our recent natural disasters, a retribution for Australia's sins. The bushfires, the floods in Australia,
right.
Heath Ledger's death, in your opinion, are all a good thing.
I love them. I don't just like them. I love them, and I thank God for them.
God hates America and all of her military.
But of all Westboro's stunts, it's this, picketing the funerals of soldiers that brought Fred Phelps and his followers the national attention they always craved.
Quick, how many
America prides itself on its constitution, and in particular, its right to freedom of speech. So when Westboro Church decided to picket the funeral of US Marine Matthew Snyder, a 20-year-old soldier killed in Iraq, the First Amendment was sorely tested. Steeped in unimaginable grief, the young soldier's father, Albert Snyder, was outraged. He took Westboro to court, saying the church was not just being offensive, it was abusing its right to freedom of speech.
That was when the ACLU defended the right of these obviously sick people to picket funerals. And that's when I quit contributing to the ACLU. I know that they know they represent both sides of the issue, but sometimes you go too far. We already have limits on free speech, and it may be just an interesting coincidence that ever since the ACLU defended the Nazis in Skokie, that white supremacist Nazi neo-Nazi groups have increased 700%. Could be a coincidence, who knows? But as far as the free speech of the Westboro Baptist cult, the idea of free speech is to protect the underdog, the the message that nobody's heard, but everybody's heard the ugly turds that come out of their mouth. So, not sure they needed that Supreme Court protection. But, anyway, to Reverend Fred Phelps and his little band of followers, eagerly drinking his Kool-Aid, I happily dedicate this next song.
In the end, the Supreme Court ruled that Whisper's voice, no matter how unpleasant,
crossing the highway late last night, he should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven. Take a whiff on me, that ain't no rose. Roll up your window and hold your nose. You don't have to look and you don't have to see, 'cause you can feel it in your olfactory. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. And it's stinking to high heaven.
Yeah, with my Bible college background, somehow I don't think Jesus would be joining Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist cult. And now for a PSA, a corrective. One moment.
Hi, I'm George Takei. A bill recently approved by a Tennessee Senate committee would prohibit teachers in that state from discussing homosexuality in the classroom. The so-called Don't Say Gay law is premised on the misguided belief that by not talking about gay people, they can simply make us disappear. I'm here to tell Tennessee and all LGBT youth and teachers who would be affected by this law that I am here for you. In fact, I'm lending my name to the cause. Anytime you need to say the word gay, you can simply say Takei. For example, you could safely proclaim you are a supporter of Takei marriage. If you're in a more festive mood, you can march in a Takei pride parade. Even homophobic slurs don't seem as hurtful if someone says, "That is so takay." And around the holidays, you can sing, "Don we now our takay apparel." Speaking of apparel, I've created a t-shirt. It's okay to be takay. I hope you wear it proudly. We also have buttons, mouse pads, and mugs, all in time for Takay Pride Month. And all proceeds go to charity. Thank you. And as they say on the Flintstones, have a takay old time.
It's okay to be takay. It's okay to be takay. Takay, takay, takay. It's okay to be takay. It's okay to be takay.
But it's not okay to be a hateful bigot. Just one last note before we leave them. The only place in the Bible where there is any explicit mention of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah is in Ezekiel 36. And it says, "Behold, this was the sin of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness were found in her and her daughters. Neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination against me. Therefore I took them away as I saw fit." Now, the first in the list was pride, abundance of idleness. You know, not much in there about homosexuality. Now, the hardcore fanatic would say, well, it's an abomination. It's an abomination. That's what it says in Leviticus. But it's also an abomination to eat shrimp or pizza or mixed fabrics. So, which abomination are you going to choose? Just remember, people in Westboro and churches like that, because they're not the only one. Just remember what happened in the 70s and stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
How very much I've loved you. How very much I've tried my best to give you the good life. But in spite of all of that I've tried, a handful of our people, with their lives, have made our life impossible. There's no way to detach ourselves from what's happened today. Not only we're in a compound situation, not only are there those who have left and committed the betrayal of the century, some have stolen children from others, and they're in pursuit right now to kill them because they stole their children. And we are sitting here waiting on a powder keg. I don't think this is what we want to do with our babies. I don't think that's what we had in mind to do with our babies. It was said by the greatest of prophets from time immemorial, "No man takes my life from me, I lay my life down." So, To sit here and wait for the catastrophe that's going to happen on that airplane, it's going to be a catastrophe. Almost happened here. Almost happened. The congressman was nearly killed here. But you can't steal people's children. You can't take off with people's children.
The disturbing last words of Jim Jones and his still enthusiastic congregation before they all drank, it was actually Flavor-Aid. Good old Kool-Aid got branded with it anyway. Before they drank their Flavor-Aid laced with cyanide, because they were told to do so by a leader, a religious leader. But it could have been anybody. Could have been a policeman, or a scientist, or a tenured professor, or somebody just wearing a uniform that looked official. Something about us, we just kind of do what we're told. I think we're going to have to get over that. I think we're going to have to learn that we don't have to do that. You're listening to WDCE 90.1 FM and streaming online, WDCE www.thestrangecucumbershow.org. This is DJ Strider and the Strange Cucumber Show. Richmond, Virginia, the weather's 73 degrees, foggy out, supposed to be partly cloudy tonight, tomorrow, 30% chance of scattered thunderstorms with a high of 94 degrees. Go down and swim in the river while you got a chance.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Isn't it time you tried Proactiv?
Now that I have clearer skin, I'm one of those people that's like, I've got the secret, here's the secret, please take it.
So don't wait. Be proactive. Call 1-800-543-6728. That's 1-800-543-6728.
Friends, as you know on Dragnet, we've always tried to emphasize the importance of facts. And when we talk to you about Chesterfield, we give you the facts. You heard the report George Fenneman read earlier. Nose, throat, and accessory organs not adversely affected by smoking Chesterfields. That's the first such report ever published about any cigarette.
The miracle of America.
Remember that report and make Chesterfield your cigarette. Get them, regular or king size. Chesterfield, the best possible
tonight,
smoke.
Millions of people are go to sleep lying on something like this. And what's the result? Insomnia rampant. And back pain and...
The miracle of America.
Has been one of man's basic pleasures for over 400 years. And the Chesterfields you smoke today are the best cigarettes ever made. When I say that, I mean Chesterfield regular, I mean Chesterfield king size. Remember, Chesterfield is the cigarette that is tested and approved by 30 years of scientific
research. The miracle of America.
The cigarette that gives you proof of highest quality. Yes, friends, the Chesterfields you smoke today are the best cigarettes ever made. For the taste you want, the mildness you want, change to Chesterfield. They satisfy millions.
You're at the age where you don't get thrown by curveballs. This is the age of knowing how to get things done.
Make sure you make the most of your space, whether that's in a suitcase, in a duffel bag, in your drawers, wherever it might be. There are tons of choices, so I just want to go through those real quickly as you're scanning across. But I'm going to start down here at the very end, and that's the newest addition to the mix.
Yes,
and that is that brand new Cheetah, right?
Yes, love the Cheetah.
Love the Cheetah.
If that's the game you're missing because of a mean cold, here's something you should know.
And what you're getting is you're getting all five of these pieces plus the tote.
I know you're looking, you're blinking, going, what?
For $39? But yes, this is the lingerie case. And I'm going to show you really quick. Family Circle chose this. The coveted Inner Circle, Jill, is the editor's pick. And you can see right here, this is the Inner Circle. Lovely Regina, the editor, picked our Set of Five Treble tote as one of her favorite things.
I love it.
So now here is why. This is the lingerie case, and all of these.
To think just what that means. Of course, it means many things. Our traditions of freedom, our miracle of America, and our system of justice. Miracle of America. But a fundamental part of the American way is our economic system. Our economic system is not perfect. That's a simple historical fact. But the American economic system has brought greater material means for happiness to more people than any other system the world has ever known. Especially in these critical times, all of us should work to defend and improve this system. And the best way to defend and improve our economic system is to learn how it works. You can get a free booklet explaining our economy by writing to Box 10, Times Square Station, New York City.
And then here is the shoe case. And you can put your shoes in here on both sides. So shoes
stay
clean for
your free copy of the Miracle of America. Now back to Tales of the Texas Ranger.
Toiletry, the cosmetic, the jewelry, and the shoe. It's a heavy grade denier. It doesn't rip easily. It's luggage grade, so it's durable, it's quality. You'd be so proud to give it as a gift. Everybody's traveling this time of year.
Well, I was going
right?
to say, what a great item for people who are traveling to your house for the holidays. They're going to open it up at your house, and their trip home is going to be so.
Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy's just a little fiend. You can say that boy's just a little fiend. Nicotine, 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 nicotine. Yeah, nicotine, 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 nicotine. Yeah, it seems I can't escape its grasp. Dreams are made of pee from papers that I breathe as flavor drags. Ease my brain relax. I awake to gum chewing, sober and nicorette. Every day stressing, got my pores ran, dripping sweat, my course ran. Twisting messes got me now counting my blessings. Pronouncing some sounds that astound with clouding and breathless. Some mounting and clouding, down to less than power is mounting so precious. How I go out with no head trip. Yes, it is I that's fiend still. Mine half was eating pills, but twice that I'm dreaming of. Might have to see some L, some liquor, some booze before I have an evil meltdown. I'm tripping real soon. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy's just a little fiend. You can say that boy's just a little fiend. Nicotine, 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 nicotine. For that nicotine sensation, should I seek cessation? Am I even ready? Leaving it steady, breathing's messy, but it's giving me salvation. Symphonies I'm patient, turn out liberally amazing. A little treat for tasting, now my brain is at maximum power. It's time to settle down and write, I'll be back in an hour. By then I'll easily have drafted it prouder. Yeah, spat it all louder, more clarity that can devour. Nicotine, damn, you got my brain on lock. Nicotine, damn, you got a hold on my heart. Nicotine, damn, you got my brain unlocked. Nicotine, damn, you got a hold on my heart. Nicotine, damn, you got my brain unlocked. Nicotine, damn, you got a hold on my heart. Nicotine, damn, you got my brain unlocked. Nicotine, damn, you got a hold on my heart. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy's just a little fiend. You can say that boy's just a little fiend. Nicotine, 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 nicotine. Yeah, nicotine, 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 nicotine. Fly high in the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Fly high in the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Fly high through the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Fly high through the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Fly high through the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Fly high through the skies when I breathe in. Soar through the atmosphere when I breathe out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine.
Yo, you can say that boy, he loves nicotine. Yo, you can say that boy's just a little fiend. Yo, you can say that boy's just a little fiend. Nicotine, 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 nicotine. Yeah, nicotine, 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 nicotine. Yeah.
That was Nicotine by Scatterbox from his new album, My Slow Fame, available now on iTunes. He's also one part of the other band that I love to play. That's Sidestep Complex. I'll be playing a little bit more of them later. Like I said, this is DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show on WDCE 90.1 FM and streaming online WDCE.org. The number at the station is 804-289-8790. And just so you don't think the show is total inanity and vacuous attempts at comedy, I'm hoping that later on I'll get a visit from a former student and current researcher on nanotechnology. So to get us started, I think I might have found a little news from KQED that'll introduce us to the topic.
Saved too many people.
I saved them. I saved them, but I made my exam.
No, that's not who we want. Hope you didn't recognize that voice.
This is a man-made motor, a motor so small that more than 6,000 of them would fit on the head of a pin. Welcome to the world of the nanometer, a unit of measure that is 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter.
A nanometer is pretty small. One of the best analogies that I like to use is to compare it with a human hair. If you take a hair off of the top of your head, you can see that it's very thin. And now if you take something that's 100,000 times thinner than that, that's a nanometer.
The ability to observe and construct things this small is at the heart of nanotechnology. And what scientists have discovered is that at the nanometer scale, everyday materials start to act in unimaginable ways. For Jeffrey Grossman, a UC Berkeley nanoscientist working with the National Science Foundation, that's exactly the draw.
The behavior of nanomaterials changes, or can change, when the size becomes so small when compared with a larger amount of that same material. When you have things that sort of start changing the way they behave, and now you have the ability to control that, it sort of opens up an entirely new phase space of material.
Suddenly, it's like the periodic table projects out into a new dimension. It's not just that we have the list of elements, it's where we can change their sizes, and each size is a little bit different than every other when it's very, very small.
The fact that you can customize nanomaterials' unique behaviors has already turned nano into the buzzword of the decade. Some researchers predict nanotechnology could lead to faster computer chips, tiny medical devices that repair clogged arteries, and new filters to clean water pollution. As novel as nanomaterials seem, humans have actually used them for hundreds of years. For centuries, the colors in stained glass windows, for example, have been the result of a controlled heating and cooling process that adjusts the size of tiny crystals in the glass.
That's medieval nanotechnology. What's different now is that we have the ability to look on the nanoscale and see what's happening. That gives us an ability to design materials rather than to just find them by a kind of accidental process.
But understanding and controlling how nanomaterials act can be tricky.
Every time you chop the material in two, say you go from a crystal that's 100 atoms across to 50 to 25, each time you do that, almost all the properties of the material really change.
So these changes are very radical and quite dramatic. If you take a piece of a material, say silicon, and you look at that material, it looks kind of dark charcoal. So it's not that interesting to look at. But now if you take out your little nano ice cream scooper and you scoop out a nano-sized chunk of that material and you look at that, all of a sudden it glows blue. And if you take a slightly bigger ice cream scooper out, it glows red. And so now you have a material that completely changes the way it looks, the color that it is, just by changing its size.
That was fucking trippy.
To its volume. And in fact, when you get down this small, most of the material could be just surface, and very little of it is actually volume. And the reason why that's interesting is that the more surface you have, the more reactions you can carry out on that surface, so you can do things like filtering much more efficiently. So you could filter water more effectively with more surface area.
Our ability to observe and change things at the nanoscale has led to a host of new materials applications and has even made it possible for scientists to begin building working nanomechanical machines like this motor. But in the world of nanomachines, nature is still king.
Some of the most fascinating things that we see on the nanoscale are the machines that nature builds on the nanoscale. Nature makes rotors and motors and things that operate on this length scale of a few nanometers by making protein assemblies and that have these interesting mechanical, nanomechanical properties. If you look at the flagellum of a bacterium, it's a little nanoscale motor and it has bushings and all kinds of little pieces inside there. They're just built very differently than the way we make ours. And they have some other tricks they're trying to decipher.
Ali Visatos and his colleagues are eager to understand and apply some of these new ideas to the real world. Among their goals, finding new forms of clean energy. Every minute, enough of the sun's light reaches the Earth to meet the world's energy demand for an entire year. This seems like a good place to start.
Photosynthesis and photovoltaics is surely the one where we have the most interesting conversation that goes on between how nature achieves this and how might we do it in the future. If we're to get our energy from the sun, we need to copy some of the lessons of nature, but we also need to find some of our own little tricks that we could apply.
Coming up with some tricks of their own. That's exactly what researchers are doing at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory's Molecular Foundry. Located in the Berkeley Hills, the facility is one of the world's premier nanoscience research centers. Comprising six floors, the foundry is a buzzing hive of activity where the newest nanomaterials move from theory into the lab.
We're working on developing plastic solar cells, so trying to harvest light for energy using polymers and more like nylon.
Traditional solar cells using crystalline silicon as the light-absorbing material are less than ideal. Silicon is heavy, expensive, and fragile. In this lab, researchers are trying to replace silicon with polymers, complex, usually man-made molecules. Here, graduate student David Kavalak builds tiny polymer-based solar cells and tests the results.
We're focusing in a solar cell on the active layer, the part that does the light absorbing and the conduction of the electrons to the electrodes. We can design these conjugated polymers that are conducting in any number of ways. We can add on certain side chains to them that make them more soluble, that make them better conductors, that change the energy levels and the band gaps of these polymers. We start with a glass substrate with a transparent electrode, which is normally indium tin oxide. We spin a polymer solution down on top of this, which the solvent evaporates really quickly, and we're left with approximately 100 nanometers of polymer, which is our active layer. Then we take it, evaporate on a top contact electrode, and test it in a solar simulator. We have 8 aluminum electrodes. That gives us 8 solar cells per substrate. And so now we can use this to test and see what kind of efficiencies we've gained. We have the ability to control individual molecules in the polymerization steps, and we're just on the very cutting edge of this. It's only been around for so few years that we don't know where this is going to go, but it only looks up.
But along with its promise of a bright new future, nanoscience brings with it a share of risks and fears. In December 2006, the city of Berkeley amended its hazardous materials law to include nanoparticles, making it the only local government in America to regulate nanotechnology.
We know that nanoscale materials can enter inside cells, and we know that that could have consequences for health. And so it's incumbent, it's really required, that we do research to understand what is the nature of the interaction between new engineered artificial nanoscale materials and living systems, not just cells, but whole living beings.
I think when you understand what kind of impact nanotechnology could have on some of the global problems, such as global warming, disease, clean water, and so forth, I think that inaction is actually the unethical standpoint. I think stasis is unethical in this case.
These advances that we're describing today are really key to achieving health and to achieving a sustainable energy technology, the big issues of our day in many ways. And so I think every member of the public has an obligation to try to learn a little bit about these things so that they can participate in that debate in a meaningful way.
There you have it. All kinds of tiny things going on. All kinds of interesting and unexpected discoveries right around the corner. One of the things that struck me in that early on is that one of the scientists talked about how much we learn from nature, something I fully agree with, kind of a fan of the Gaia hypothesis. This is WDCE 90.1 FM, streaming online, WDCE.org. DJ Strider's Strange Cucumber Show. It is 11:12 here in Richmond, Virginia. And here's a little bit about the Gaia hypothesis developed by James Lovelock.
The Gaia hypothesis states that the Earth is alive. Formulated by James Lovelock, it proposes that our planet functions as a single organism that maintains conditions necessary for its survival. The ancient Greeks called their earth goddess Gi, or Gaia. Gaia was Mother Earth, gentle, feminine, and nurturing, but also ruthless to those who crossed her. Lovelock defines Gaia as a complex entity involving the Earth's biosphere, atmosphere, oceans, and soil in a feedback or cybernetic system which seeks an optimal physical and chemical environment for life. The search for life on Mars led to Lovelock's idea about the existence of Gaia. As part of a NASA team formed to look for life on other planets, Lovelock was asked to propose hypotheses that would demonstrate whether life existed on a planet or not. One of these hypotheses was the idea that gases in an atmosphere on a dead planet would be in chemical equilibrium. That is, all the possible chemical reactions that could have happened would have happened, and the gases of the atmosphere would be relatively inert. On the other hand, if life existed on the planet, gases in the atmosphere would not be in balance, and chemical reactions would be actively occurring. Scientists looked at the gaseous composition of Mars and Venus. They saw that the atmosphere was largely composed of the generally unreactive gas, carbon dioxide. Both of these planets are dead. Earth's atmosphere is an unusual and unstable mixture of many gases. Thus, life is present. Earth's gas was not in chemical equilibrium, yet appeared to be maintained in a constant state. This suggested a regulation of the planet's atmosphere. The whole system of the climate, the rocks, the air, and the ocean is a self-regulating process. The Earth acts as a single system, a coherent, self-regulated assemblage of physical, chemical, geological, and biological forces that interact to maintain a unified whole, balanced between the input of energy from the sun and the thermal sink of that energy into space. The Earth regulates flows of energy and the recycling of materials. Energy from the sun is constant and unlimited. It's captured by the Earth as heat or photosynthetic processes and returned to space as long-wave radiation. But the mass of the Earth is limited. Thus, while energy flows through the Earth, matter cycles within the Earth. Everything that happens on the planet, the life and death of trees, the increase or decrease in emissions of carbon dioxide, the planting of croplands, all have an effect on our planet. If the Earth is indeed self-regulating, then it will adjust to the impacts of man. These adjustments may act to eventually decrease and limit his numbers, or to exclude man altogether. Life, or the biosphere, regulates the climate. This homeostasis is like the internal maintenance of our own bodies. According to Lovelock, the geophysiologist sees life as a system open to the flux of matter and energy, but that maintains an internal steady state. Our body temperatures are maintained by feedbacks between the brain and various organs and systems of the body. If it is too cold, our bodies produce heat by shivering. If it is too warm, our bodies sweat and remove heat through evaporation. On Earth, temperature is regulated in a similar fashion. Albedo refers to the color of a planet and its ability to absorb or reflect light. Dark areas, such as mountains in summer, forests, or even the ocean, absorb heat energy from the sun. Light areas, such as deserts, clouds, or polar ice caps, reflect the sun's energy away from the Earth. Global temperature is regulated by clouds. If there are more clouds, more sunlight is reflected from the Earth, and the Earth cools. Fewer clouds, more sunlight reaches the surface, and the Earth warms. Many factors affect cloud cover. The interaction of the atmosphere with the ocean is one. One mechanism is the release of cloud condensation.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, you got the idea. Definitely a fan of Gaia, but I wanted to move on and share one of my latest Richmond, Virginia soundscapes, which includes, you just barely hear it, but some beautiful violin music played by a guy on Oregon Hill just a few hours ago. Please flip your cassette tape over to listen to part B of this program.